The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ his Son." Today we thank God for that indescribable gift. Last week we started talking about it with an outline. I gave you an insert. It's a pretty detailed outline. You probably, if you read it, you may not need me to even preach it. But, last week we talked about this gift was unveiled for the world. That is, it was a gift that only God could reveal. It's not something we learned on our own. It's not something man would have planned. It's not something that we would have thought about doing. It is something that God revealed. It is God unveiled it for all to see. It was a gift unequaled in its price. For by grace, you're saved through faith. But it didn't mean it didn't cost anybody anything. It cost God everything he had when he gave his only begotten Son. He left heaven's glories and came into this world and took on the form of a human being. The gift of God was not only unequaled in his price, but it was unbelievable in his purpose. Primarily, his purpose was to redeem lost people. And he's reaching down into a world of those who'd rebelled against him and sinned against him, and to save them and lift them out of that world so that they could have salvation and spend an eternal destiny with him. It is unending in its availability, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that whoever calls upon him, doesn't matter who they are, where they are, where they've been, what they've done, it is by grace and grace alone. And it's not because we deserved it, but because he has chosen to make it available to us. But also, the gift of God is unstoppable in its power to save. Any person who will come to Jesus Christ and will trust him will be saved. Folks, you can't keep that from happening. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save us. But I want to continue that theme, talking about the gift of God. The gift of God is also unexplainable in its nature. It's an indescribable gift, an unspeakable gift, Paul is describing it when he's talking to the Christians. When Jesus came into the world, folks, he became both human and divine. That self in itself is a real paradox when you begin to think about it. See, paradox, there's a lot of paradoxes in Scripture. Paradoxes seem to be, two different truths that are both true, two different statements that are both true, and yet they seem to be contradictory to each other. So one of the greatest paradoxes of all of Scripture is that when Jesus Christ left heaven's glories and came to this world, he did not lose his godhood, but he took on the form of a human being and he became a man. He was fully God and fully man. In Luke chapter 1, as the angel was first, Gabriel was speaking to Mary, he said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said unto the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." In that four short passage, there are four sonships that are mentioned. He is called the Son of Mary, the Son of the Highest, the Son of David, and the Son of God. Two of those references refer to his human nature. He was a son of Mary, and he was also the son of David. The other two refer to his divine nature. He is the Son of the Highest, and he is the Son of God. He is both God and man at the same time. He's not part man sometimes, and acting like a man sometimes. He's not God part-time where he's acting like a man. He is God and man at the same time all the time. How do we explain that? How do we reconcile that in our minds? That's an impossibility. It is unexplainable. It is unspeakable. It is indescribable how God could be both human and divine. But it was a part of God's plan. What God could do, we could never do. Then he came to understand it is also unexplainable in his nature. How can we explain the fact that Jesus Christ came to the world to save us from sin. You know, Luke said, behold, he will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. That word Jesus is actually of the Greek form of the Hebrew Jehovah, or what we now know that since the Jewish nation has returned and started reviving the Hebrew language, we know that it is Yahshua, Yahweh. And it means that salvation is Yahweh. Salvation belongs to God. You know, and so basically the very name Jesus refers to the fact that he came into this world to save and to bring us salvation. To the human mind, apart from God's illumination and revelation unto us, it would be something that was basically inexplainable. We couldn't explain it or understand it. How could a God who was holy and pure and clean, how could he come into the world and literally become sin on our behalf so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and set free and saved from our sin? In Romans 5, verses 6 and 9, said, while we were yet helpless, while at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God that is to come. God is a God of grace, God of love, a God of goodness, God of forgiveness. And he saves us in spite of our sin and our rebellion. It's unexplainable. It's indescribable until we have it revealed to us by the very heart of God himself, demonstrated to us in his love. Even the method of his birth was unexplainable. Why would the God of gods and the Lord of lords come into the world and be born as a baby? You know, he's coming back later. I've been reading a devotional book by John Phillips, and he's kind of been walking through the Bible in like a 100-day devotional book, and we've gotten to the book of Revelations, and there's a reading every day, and it's talked about that final day when John's vision of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, where he's going to see him return, basically, and he begins to describe his character and his nature and his holiness, and that he's now ready to come back, not as a babe in a manger, but as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the one who is going to come back in order to basically pour out God's wrath upon those who have rejected him. Folks, and if we had thought about doing it, if we had thought about coming into the world as God to save man, I don't have any doubt that all of us would have found some other way besides coming as a baby. You know, I mean, that's almost unexplainable. It's beyond our imagination that God would do something such as that. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you shall, for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. You ever thought about, you know, I've talked to people down through my ministry and through the years who said they couldn't accept Christianity because they never believed that a virgin could be conceived and have a child. Well, see, that's part of the unexplainable. That God did something miraculous. God did something that is beyond nature. He stepped above it. It's unexplainable in the natural way of things. The Holy Spirit of God. The whole nativity scene is unexplainable. God being born as a baby, we'll never understand it. Except as God reveals it to us when he gives us salvation. The gift of God is unexplainable in its nature. But it's also the gift of God that's unfathomable in its love. How do you understand such love that God had to leave the realms of glory and come into this world and die for us? And 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He sent his Son to be the wrath bearer for our sin. That's literally what propitiation means. He's the one who bore the wrath of God away upon his own shoulders. Many of our gifts that we give at Christmas time, we do out of necessity, you know, not really out of love. We just feel like we need to do that because of family, because of friends, because of other obligations or whatever. But I'm telling you something. You know, when God gave to us, he gave not because we earned it or deserved it or had done anything to grant, you know, a gift. He just simply did it because he loved us. And he shared with us the very love of God. None of us were deserving of the heavenly gift. It's unfathomable in his love. It was the love of Christ that made Calvary possible. That's why he came into the world, to go to the cross. John 15, he says that no greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, in 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us. It was the love of God that made, that provided for us the necessary righteousness. How you know, the very nature, if we understand Scripture at all, one of the things that perhaps as Baptists we hadn't talked about enough is the holiness of God. You know, God is a holy God who hates sin, despises sin. And, you know, that's the bottom line to everything we understand about the gospel is that God is holy and that we're sinners and we're separated from God. And God, and we need a righteousness that is not our own in order to be able to have any fellowship with God at all. And so God in his love has provided a way for us to be righteous before God by sending his son. And Isaiah 64, 6 says, but we're all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind will be taken away. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Unfathomable is love, that God could provide for us in his love the righteousness that we need to have a fellowship with him for all of eternity. It is beyond knowledge. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ. He praying for the Ephesians. He said, I pray that you may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with the fullness of God. It's more than we can imagine, more than we can think about, more than we can understand or know that God loved us so much. And the love is immeasurable in his scope. He goes on in that prayer. Said, may, you know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, said, may be able, he prayed for them, that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. Folks, the gift of God is unfathomable in his love. Unexplainable in his nature, unfathomable in his love, but it also is unparalleled in his power to change lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. The glorious gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ who came into our life, it is his power to change our lives. He can change the very course of history. He changed our life. We can rejoice that we're not what we used to be because we've been changed into something different and new and made over again by the power of God. I remember in the very early days of my ministry, and right now, you know, I've been here all, a year, will be after next Sunday, and I still hadn't moved a third of my books over here. And I was looking for this book the other day, and it's in that pile of stuff in my study somewhere because I took a bunch of stuff off the shelves and moved my shelves over here, but I had never moved my book. And I was looking for this book, and I couldn't find it, but it was a book I remember reading in the early days of my ministry called Then Came Jesus. And it was a testimony of different people whose life was heading in the wrong direction, and then they shared what happened when they met Jesus. And their life changed by the power of God. Folks, life changes when we meet Jesus. And if your life hadn't changed when you met him, then you need to start looking into your own heart, into your own life, and examining your salvation. Because I tell you, he makes us all things new. Gives us a new nature. Creates us again and over again. And that... It changes lives. The power is unparalleled in changing lives. That gift has changed our eternal destiny. And Titus 3:7 says, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our destiny is sure now beyond any measure. Heaven is now ours because of what Jesus Christ did when he came into this world and provided us salvation. He gives us a new body. Philippians 3:21 said, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able to do all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. He changes us. He gives us an everlasting peace. The Lord will give you strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace in Psalm 29:11. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because we have met Jesus and received the gift that God has given to us, then we have peace with God. We've been reconciled with him. And that peace with God is what gives us the peace of God. We can face whatever life gives us. We can go on and face the future because he has changed our lives and has given us a peace. Max sang about it a moment ago, the hope and the joy of Christmas. See, those things are also a part of what God has done in power to change our lives. He's given us a hope. And 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I tell you, we live in a world that is filled with despair, but in the midst of that world, he has given us hope. And hope, you see, is more than just wishing something might happen in the future. You know, my dad used to interchange the words. I can remember growing up, my dad would interchange the words help and hope. And he would say, if somebody was coming over here, he always had a garden, and he adopted young couples when they came into our church. And so he would get them involved in gardening or doing something, you know, working with all the stuff. And I can remember him saying, so-and-so's come over here and hope us, you know. And he was wishing for somebody to come and, you know, help him, one of these young couples that would come over here and do something. He interchanged that word hope and help. And I'm telling you, because God is a God of hope, he is a God of help. Okay, he's changed our lives. And I don't think he was too far wrong as I've thought about that through the years. But, you know, sometimes you can say, well, I wish somebody would come or do something. And that may be a maybe, yeah, then maybe they won't. But hope is not something you have to worry about not happening. You see, hope carries the element of assurance. It carries the expectation of something that is going to happen in the future. But it is also the guarantee that it will be accomplished. So God has changed our lives by giving us a hope that is sure, a lively hope that cannot die. Then he's also given us the unspeakable joy. 1 Peter 1:8, so whom we have not seen you love, and whom we have not now, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice, and with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The angels sing good news of great joy. That's what the gift of God was about. It indeed is unparalleled in its power to change our lives. But the gift of God is also unmerited by its recipients. See, we can't earn it. We're not worth it. It is undeserved, but it is freely given to us by God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. How do you find grace? We try. We talk about the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. But the only way you ever really understand grace is for you to experience what God has done and the grace that he gives to us. You know, we deserve death, but he gives us eternal life. It's only by grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If we receive what we deserved, all of us would be in hell. That'd be our future. That'd be our destiny. If we receive what we deserve. But he gave us what we don't deserve. We deserve death, but he gave us eternal life. It is unmerited by its recipients. But then the gift of God is also unobtainable by our own merit. See, we can't earn it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3, 27, 28 says, wherein is the boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law or what works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Salvation is not something that we achieve. It is something we receive as we receive the gift of God into our lives. A quote from Martin Luther. He said, the most damnable, pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man was the idea that somehow he could make himself good enough to deserve to live with an all-holy God. Folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing that we can do that can cause us to be good enough to live in the presence of a holy God. It is all by the grace of God. It is something that we don't merit, don't work on, but it is something that is given to us freely. You know, salvation is received by accepting God's gift by faith. God will save all who come to him by faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, God cannot and will not save those who reject him. In Hebrews 2:3 it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, if you know you need to be saved, if you've heard the message of the gospel, and you know you need to be saved, you've read the Word of God, and the Word of God has become clear to you, and the Holy Spirit of God has made it clear to you, then God has given you the very gift of enough faith to be able to believe in him. For faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. If you're here today and you know you need to be saved, and you've never trusted him, never put your faith in Christ, solely, totally, completely, absolutely trusting him and nothing else, and folks, you need to come to Jesus Christ today. I don't care how many times you joined church or whatever you've done or what had been your experience in the past. It comes to the point of whether you've really and truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Rodney Gypsy Smith became a great evangelist for Christ, but he trusted Christ in November of 1867. He reaffirmed his decision a few days later in a Methodist chapel, and an old man asked him if he had trusted Jesus and nothing else. And the lad replied, he said, I cannot trust myself, for I am nothing. I cannot trust what I have, for I have nothing. I cannot trust what I know, for I know nothing. It is only in faith in Jesus Christ that stands. The gift of God is unattainable by our merit, or by grace are you saved through faith. But it can be yours today by simply trusting Jesus Christ and receiving the gift that God gave us in his Son Jesus. The gift of God, unavailed by God, not something man could conceive or think of, but it's something only God could reveal and God could do. The gift of God, unequaled in his price. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost God everything that was important to him. The gift of God is unbelievable in its purpose, to provide for us salvation and a destiny where we could spend an eternity with God and to redeem us. It's unending in its availability, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is unstoppable in its power to save. There's nobody that can keep you from being saved if you put your faith in Christ. It is unexplainable in its nature. It's not something that man can conceive and put his mind on and we can think about and give an explanation for it. It's something we simply have to accept by faith. It is unfathomable in its love. How could anybody love us the way God loved us and give his only begotten Son, literally becoming sin on our behalf that he could die. It is unparalleled in his power to change lives. If you want to be different, if you want the power to live differently, you want the power to act differently, if you want to live a different kind of life, then folks, I'm telling you, come to Jesus Christ and you'll find then that his power can change and revolutionize your life. It is unmerited by its recipients. Those of us who receive it understand and know that it was not anything we ever did, but it was simply by the grace of God. And it is unobtainable by our merit. There's nothing you can do. No work, no law, nothing else you can add to it. It's simply receiving by faith the gift God gave us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And all of this salvation, this gift can be yours today by simply trusting Jesus. One other statement. It's also unlimited in its benefits. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, 1 Corinthians 2:9, for it's written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of God, nor the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them who loved him. So, folks, we've never seen it, never heard it, never even imagined how good it's going to be. And all that God has provided us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, this will be the greatest Christmas you'll ever have if you'll come to him and trust him. And as a child of God, if you say, I know him, but I hadn't been doing what I ought to do, this will be a great Christmas to remember, where you recommit your life to God and say, from this point on, I'm going to be what God wants, and I trust him and commit myself to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this time we have at worship here at this Christmas season. We're grateful, overwhelmingly so, that you've been so good to us and loved us so much that you gave us the gift to your Son. Father, we thank you. In the presence of the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll convict us where we need to be today in our own lives and draw us to yourself, that we would trust you and surrender to you and truly experience afresh and anew this gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.